So this evening, I want to reflect on the simple concept of giving thanks. And we're going to look at several examples in the Bible where that exact phrase is used and look at the context and the lessons from each of those instances. And we have lots of examples of giving thanks. So what should we give thanks for? What should the attitude and the manner by which we give thanks be? And we'll learn and we'll see examples of that as we go through this study. We'll look at why we should give thanks. We'll look at how often we should give thanks and how we should give thanks. And so our goal this evening is to look at these examples, compare the giving thanks that we read about to our own lives, and hopefully it lines up. Hopefully our giving thanks is consistent with what we read here. And if not, we can all reflect, me first, reflect and make adjustments where we need to. So we're going to look at some examples we find of people giving thanks, and keeping in mind that we should give thanks for the same and give thanks in the same manner. So I want to look at three things that we find people giving thanks for in the Bible. Of course, there are a lot more than three, but we're going to focus on these three. All right, the first one, his name. That is God's name. What is his name? What does that mean?
Well, it's more than just the actual title of God, but it is his nature, his character, who he is. It involves his deeds and his works. So as we get ready to start looking at these examples, probably want to keep your finger in the book of Psalms. We're going to do a lot of reading out of the book of Psalms this evening. And so we have multiple examples in the book of Psalms of giving thanks to his name. And these mostly come from King David. So we're going to take a look at a few of those that illustrate this point. We're going to start in Psalms chapter 30, looking at verses 4 and 5. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5. It reads, "Sing praises to the Lord and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is for a moment and his favor is for a lifetime." So right there we see a lot. Give thanks for his name. And then we're seeing reasons why we give thanks for his name and what kind of name he has, a holy name. That is a set-apart name. That is a supreme name. And then let's turn over to Psalm chapter 75. Psalm chapter 75, verse 1. And it reads there, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. For your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds." So look at everything that is encompassed in his name, these deeds. Then flip over to Psalm chapter 97. Psalm chapter 97. And there we're going to look at verse 12. Psalm 97, verse 12. It says there, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name." And then we're going to keep going and go to Psalm chapter 106, Psalm chapter 106, down in verse 47. Psalm 106, 47. It says there, "Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." So, a question that you may have heard before. Someone may ask, what is in a name? Why is a name important? And again, we're not just talking about titles here. We're talking about more than that. As we said earlier, it is who and what he is, just the same with it is us. Our name is who and what we are. With God, it's his nature, his character, his deeds. With us, it's the same, our nature, our character, our deeds. So what do we mean by that? All right, we can read examples that talk about having a good name, right? So we're going to look at those real quick. That is what God has. God has a name that's above all other names. We'll read more about that in a moment. But we're striving to have a good name. We're striving to have a good character. We're striving to have an upright and a righteous character. We're striving to be more like God. Can we be like him in all things? No, we can't. But we strive to do that. And part of that is that name, that nature, and that character that we're striving to. So some familiar passages, I'm sure. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, that passage reads that a good name, again, what is all in a name? Character, nature, deeds, works, all that is involved. A good name is better than precious ointment. And then a very similar statement in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, Proverbs 22, verse 1, where it says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So look at the importance of a good name, of a good nature, a good character. That is why we give thanks to God for his name, because he has a good name, a good holy name. And then in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Where it says there, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. So the name of God, his nature, his character, the name of Christ, his nature, his character is above everything else. It is a wonderful name. So that's why we see giving thanks to his name. All right, so we talked about his name. What else should we give thanks for? What else can we look at examples of giving thanks for? Second one is God's love. God's love. That also includes his faithfulness and goodness. And so there's a phrase that we go back to the Psalms. It appears a lot. It says, for his steadfast love. That is unwavering love. And we see over and over giving thanks there in the Psalms for that love. And so we're going to look at some of those examples. And not only that, it says his steadfast love. What else about that love? That love that endures forever. It's permanent. It's eternal. So let's look at one example here, or two examples, excuse me. First one, before we go to the Psalms, we're going to look at 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And in verse 34, it reads, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Same exact phrase that we'll find numerous times in the Psalms. We're just going to look at one example. So if you turn to the 107th Psalm, 107, and look at verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1. Same phrase. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So we find this phrase repeated a lot of times. If you want to look in Psalm 106, it's there. In 136, it's there several times. But again, this is emphasizing this part of God's character, his love, his steadfast, enduring, eternal love. And in 136, it's interesting because there's a lot of different descriptions of God given there. So if you want to look at some different characteristics of God, a lot of them are listed there in Psalm 136. We're not going to read all of them, but just a few that are there. It calls him the God of gods, Lord of lords, he who does great wonders, God of heaven, all describing God's nature and character and deeds. All right, so we've looked at giving thanks to God for his love. We looked at giving thanks to his name. And then we also have examples, lots of examples, particularly in the New Testament, of giving thanks for each other. And this is going to tie back to what we talked about this morning with Brother Carl's lesson about this family that we have. So we are to give thanks for having that. So we're going to start here talking about fellow Christians. We should be giving thanks. Our fellow workers in Christ that work for the good on this earth, for the steadfastness we share with one another, for the faith, the love that we share with one another. The service that we're in here together. We give thanks for all those things as well. So let's look at a few examples of the phrase giving thanks or give thanks if with regard to each other. So the first one we're going to look at, we'll try to take them in order, is Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. And a lot of these are all going to be letters from Paul that we can look and see a good example of this phrase, give thanks. So this is Romans 16, 3 and 4. Paul writes there, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles as well." And then we have 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and there we'll read verses 4 and 5. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 4 and 5. Paul writes there, "I give thanks to my God always for you," that's to the Corinthian Christians, "because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge." So look at all these characteristics of Christians that Paul is giving thanks for. We should be doing the same. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, this is Ephesians chapter 1, looking at verses 15 through 17. Ephesians 1, 15 through 17. Paul writes here, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him." And then it continues. So look at these characteristics. Look at these things that Paul's given thanks for in Christians. These same characteristics that we have and should have. Then over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3 there. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. So Paul writes here, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Think about these characteristics. Think about these things that to give thanks for each other, the things that we share. And then lastly there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4. He writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. So we have examples of giving thanks for God's name, for God's love, for each other. Now we're going to focus for a few minutes on how we should give thanks. How we should give thanks. So back to the Psalms for some examples of this, excuse me, where David writes, first one is going to be Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And what we're going to learn here is that we are to give thanks with our whole heart, with our whole selves, with all of our energy, with all of our might. And that's what David emphasizes. So in Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, what does he say? He says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Look at the example that we have. Now, stay in the Psalms, but you're going to go forward to Psalms 86. Psalm 86. And this is going to be verses 12 and 13. Psalm 86, 12 and 13. Very similar statement. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of Sheol. So my whole heart, my whole self, everything I have. And then in Psalm chapter 111, Psalm 111, looking at verses 1 through 3, Psalm 111, 1 through 3. Starts off, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them, full of splendor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. So look at this, giving thanks with all my heart, and looking at why, look at all these characteristics of God that are given here in these statements. All right, so how should we give thanks? One, with our whole heart. Also, in praise, with cheerfulness and thanksgiving. We saw some examples of that in the previous readings. We're going to look at a couple more. Also, among the people. We'll see that phrase. Well, what does that mean? That means we should be out among the people we're in contact with and let them know that we're thankful. We shouldn't go and hide, you know, our thanksgiving. This should be something that we make known how much we appreciate all these things. So we're going to look at five passages here. First Chronicles chapter 16. So we'll go back to First Chronicles. This is First Chronicles 16, verses 8 and 9. First Chronicles 16, 8 and 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. So that talks about, that's an attitude of cheerfulness. That's an attitude of thanksgiving. That's an attitude of sharing. Sharing our thanks. And then, hope you kept your finger in Psalms 57, verse 9. Psalm 57, verse 9 says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. So look at how we're to give thanks. What kind of attitude, what kind of mind are we to have? And then we're going to jump over to Isaiah for a second. And this is Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Isaiah 12, verse 3. And he's discussing salvation here. And he says, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds. What? Among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises in the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. So we are to proclaim our thanksgiving, proclaim in a cheerful way our thanks to God. And then, last two passages are going to go back in Psalms. And then this is getting to the idea of, again, how are we to do this? What is our attitude? What should our the way we proclaim these things be? And this is in Psalm verses 20, chapter 28, verse 7. 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I will give thanks to him. So this is a cheerful singing God's thanks. What kind of attitude? We're supposed to have a cheerful attitude in giving thanks to God. And then in Psalm 30, so a couple chapters over, Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12, says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So look at this. That he's talking about my mourning has become dancing. My sackcloth, you know, those poor torn clothes are off, and now I'm clothed with gladness, that I may sing your praise, sing God's praise for all the good that he has done. And then I want to look at one more example in the New Testament of someone who was doing just this very thing, and this is the prophetess Anna in the book of Luke. So if you turn over to Luke chapter 2, turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 36 through 38 and read about this prophetess and her attitude and how she proclaimed her thanks. This is verses 36 through 38. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So it wasn't something that she just kept to herself. She wanted people to know. She wanted to give thanks and let people know of God's greatness. All right, so we've talked about now how we should give thanks. I want to look at why and when, okay? So for why, back to Psalms 92. And this is very simple. This just, to me, sums up everything that we kind of talked about already. Psalm 92, verse 1. Why should we give thanks? And this is what it says. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, Most High. It is good to do. And then in verse 5, down in verse 5, it says, how great are your works, O Lord. Good. Good is such, seems like such a simple word, but it's a powerful word. You look through the Bible and you look at the examples of the word good and what it means. Not that God necessarily needs our thanks. He's done everything. He's all powerful. But it is good for us to give thanks. And then, when and how often? Well, you probably can already know. You already know how often we should, and that's simple as well. When should we give thanks? How often? All the time. All the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. It reads, rejoice always. pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. And so we're supposed to give thanks all the time, in all circumstances. That covers everything. You think about, in James chapter 1, where it talks about counting it joy when we suffer. That part of counting it joy is really giving thanks. When we even go through difficult times and difficult things, we should be thankful for that. And he talks about, because that helps make us stronger, and we should be thankful. All right? And then, as we read earlier, when we were reading the where Paul talks about giving thanks, what were some of the words that were that he said when he talked about, I give thanks? He said, always. He said, unceasingly. And so we know that giving thanks should be part of our prayers. It should be part of just our day-to-day walk. We should just be thankful for everything that we've talked about and then some. And then where it talks about praying without ceasing. Again, if we're praying without ceasing, part of our prayer is giving thanks. So that's another example that shows we should be giving thanks all the time. All right, so I'm going to close with one last passage that I think takes everything that we've looked at tonight and sums it all up in our giving thanks and why we should give thanks and what our giving thanks is really all about. And so if you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we have is about this victory through Jesus Christ. All of our thanksgivings to God, all of his nature, his character, it's all come to giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So with those things in mind, let us reflect, let us focus, let us think about our giving thanks. Think about how important it is to give thanks. Think about how often we should give thanks, what we should be thankful for. There's so much. It's hard to do because I think Dennis this morning was reading the song Count Your Blessings. They're so numerous that we can't really, it's hard to be thankful or express our thanks because there's so many things. But we should try to do that, and it helps us to really appreciate and understand how much God has done for us.